morning, everyone. Welcome to Evangelical Chinese Church of South King County. To begin this morning's worship service, I'd like to read Psalm 24. And the theme of that psalm is God is King. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Let's bow and pray together. Heavenly Father, we do indeed welcome you, and we recognize you as as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, just despite your high position, Lord, you remember each one of us, and Lord, you love us more than we can know. And Father, I especially thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, that we may have eternal life. And in Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. This time, I'd like to invite all of you to stand with me. And as you stand, take note of how many rows are in front of you. If there are more than five rows in front of you, please feel free to move forward five rows. And as you move forward, please feel free to shake the hands of those around you, wish each other good morning, and happy Sunday.
Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel, strength and consolation, hope of all the earth, thou art dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit rule in all our hearts alone, by thine all-sufficient merit raise in us thy glorious throne.
Give thanks to the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, and just what that means for all of us, God. It's something that happens and we remember and specifically celebrate every year, but God, maybe not be conditioned by this. God, remind us of the hope that it brings. Remind us of the salvation, God, because truly without your Son's coming, this life this world is, it seems like nothing, God. And so, God, as Pastor Jim speaks, God, may you remind us of the importance of your son's coming and what it means for us, God. So I pray all these things in your son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
This week of Advent, we celebrate a season of hope. Hope is a light on the darkest of days, the longest of nights. But we do not put our hope in the things of this earth, which fail us. We do not put our hope in other people who may disappoint us. We put our hope in the Lord.
I'm going to read from Isaiah 40:27. Isaiah 40:27. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let us respond together. The Lord Jesus Christ is our everlasting hope. Even in the darkest of days, when we are tired and weary, we know that the Lord has not abandoned us. He is with us still. He will strengthen us, renew us, redeem us. Our hope is in the Lord.
Let us pray together. Father God, as we come to this season of Advent, Lord, remind us that you are our hope. Lord, we put our hope and our trust and our faith. We look forward to so many other things besides you, Lord. But Lord, you are the one who is solid. You are the one who never fails us. Lord, this Christmas, as we go off and get busy and do all of our Christmas shopping and all these other things, Lord, remind us that you are the one that we look forward to. Not the celebrations, not the presents, not all this stuff, but you are the one. Remind us and teach us, Lord, from your holy word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Has there ever been a time when you completely lost hope? Have you ever completely lost hope before? Maybe you bombed a midterm or a final, and then you failed a class or something, and then your dreams of the Ivy League or of medical school were completely dashed. You lost hope. It's hopeless. You know, I got a big old F on my report card. There's no way could ever get into the Ivy League. Maybe you found out that somebody you trusted betrayed you in the worst possible way, and that made you lose hope. Maybe you lost a job, and then you worried about, oh, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to provide for my family? And that made you lose hope. Maybe a family member, or even yourself. Maybe you got a cancer diagnosis, and the prognosis didn't look very good. It's hopeless. What's the point in going on? Well, I ask you, really, was there ever a time in your life or a single moment where things really completely felt hopeless. You know, it's so easy for us weak, frail creatures, us of such little faith, to lose hope. But you know, hope is so necessary. We see what happens to people without hope. Did you know that suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States? The 10th leading cause of death. Did you know that 36,000 Americans, they take their lives, they take their own lives every single year? That's 36,000 hopeless people. You know, without hope, there's no reason to go on. Without hope, we are of all people most to be pitied. We need hope. We need something to look forward to. I mean, hope is a basic human necessity. The prophet Isaiah, he spoke during a time when the kingdoms of Israel and Judah were looking pretty hopeless. You know, what was once a godly, a strong, a powerful, a wealthy, united nation, right, was, during the time of Isaiah, divided, corrupted, defeated. It was just a shadow of its former glory. The nation was split into two kingdoms, right? The north and the south, Israel and Judah. And the people there, they worshipped idols. And injustice was rampant in the streets. Injustice, social injustice. I mean, even the religious leaders of the day, they were disobedient to God. They were offering polluted sacrifices and vain offerings. Right? And, you know, because of all this, this messed up darkness and all this ugliness, God was bringing the punishment upon the people and enacting these covenant curses. Drought, famine, war, and ultimately exile. This was an extremely dark and hopeless time for the nation of Israel. First, the Assyrian army, they came and conquered the north. And Isaiah prophesied, hey, soon the Babylonians were going to come and finish the job. And God said he was going to bring these foreign armies to cut down the tree of Israel. Right? So Israel was you know, symbolized as a tree, a big, strong tree. But God said, I'm going to cut you down. I'm going to cut you down until all that's left is a stump. The tree of Israel was going to be cut down until there's just a stump left. It doesn't really get much darker than that. It doesn't really get much more hopeless than that. Can you imagine if our country today was in a time like this, like Israel was facing? Can you imagine if we were split apart, right, half the country living one way, half the country living another way? Can you imagine if we have forgotten the principles and values of our founding fathers? Can you imagine if foreign countries all around us were just waiting to overtake us, overtake our military and our economic status? Can you imagine that? It's actually not that hard to imagine, is it? And indeed, this is what the nation of Israel, they were facing at the time of Isaiah. They faced the very real reality that God was just leaving them alone, leaving them to their own devices, their own sins, and God was giving them what they deserved. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are extremely dark. It was all about punishment and judgment and God recounting Israel's unfaithfulness. You've been unfaithful. You've broken covenant with me. That's 39 chapters of this stuff in Isaiah. And it is here in this bleak, dark, hopeless background that sets up this beautiful contrast beginning in chapter 40. So would you turn with me in Isaiah chapter 40? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27, it's the the first, there we go. So he says, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? See, the people, they're complaining and asking, has God forgotten about us? Has God forgotten about us? The big question is, has God abandoned us? Has God abandoned us? Are we hopeless? Are we hopeless? You know, is our sin simply too great? Are we truly beyond saving now? Has God abandoned us? Now, how many of us have ever sinned or done something so terrible or rebelled so willfully against God that you've asked yourself this very question, right? Am I beyond saving? Has God turned his face from me? We have all felt the sting of guilt, the burn of shame before, to the point that we wanted to hide our face from the one we have offended. You know, for us in the, many of us in the Chinese culture, right, face is a big deal, right? Face is a big deal. When you've done something wrong or you've disgraced yourself or your family, right, you've lost face. You don't want to show your face. You expect others to turn their face away from you, right? When you've done something so terrible, when you've made a fool of yourself. Right? You don't want to look someone in the face. You don't even want to show your face, right? See, looking someone in the face is an act of intimacy and relationship. And once that has been broken, right, looking someone in the face is the last thing that you want to do, right? After 39 long chapters in Isaiah of judgment and prophecies of punishment, Israel was beginning to realize, whoops, we messed up. Right? They were beginning to realize the error of their ways, and then they wondered, is it too late? Right? Am I too far gone? Right? Is my cause disregarded by my God? Right? Am I hopeless as he turned his face away from me? He doesn't want to look at me anymore, right? Am I hopeless? But then, beginning in chapter 40, right, if you look in the beginning of chapter 40, God begins to speak a word of comfort to his people. A word of comfort. Right, chapter 40, verse 1, he says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. Right? Comfort, comfort. It's okay. Your sin has been paid for. God is essentially saying, shh, it's okay. It's okay. Right? It's like a comforting parent after disciplining a naughty child. Right? I have to do that at my house quite often. My 4-year-old daughter, she's becoming very naughty. And I'll yell at her, or, you know, I'll discipline her in some way. And she just wants to hide her face from me. She wants to turn away, and, you know, she just wants to get out of there. And I have to go and reach out to her and say, it's okay. Daddy still loves you. It's okay. Right? Comfort, comfort. Right? Trust me. Look upon my face. Right? This is not a face of anger anymore, okay? This is a face of love. Look at my face. Verse 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Right? Isaiah is saying, look upon your God. Right? Gaze upon his face. Don't hide your face from him. He's not hiding his face from you. Look upon your God. 28 says, he is the everlasting God. He is eternal, right, beginning to end. He is the creator God. He's ever present all throughout his creation. He does not grow tired or weary. Right? This is an all-powerful God. Look at your God. You know, it says, his understanding no one can fathom. He is an all-knowing God. He says, look at your God. Don't hide from him. Look at him. He's looking for you, right? You're God. Look at him. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Look at your God, right? Look upon the face of your God and see who he is. He sees your suffering and your pain. He's able and willing to rescue you if you would just return to him. He's putting you through this punishment. It's for your own good. God has not hidden his face from you. He is for you, not against you. Verse 29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run, not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah says, put your hope in the Lord. All right? He will give you rest. Put your hope in the Lord, and he will give you strength. Israel was not to put her hope in kings and armies, in priests and sacrifices. Israel was called to put their hope in the Lord himself, a God who is loving and who does not abandon his people, a God who is powerful and able and willing to rescue them, a God who is wise, who works all things for the greater good. Israel was called to hope in the Lord, and so are we. We are likewise to hope in a God who is, I must not have updated it. We are called to hope in a God who is loving, powerful, and wise. So the first one, number one, God is a loving God. Our God is a loving God. Look at your God and see that he is a loving God who doesn't abandon his children. God doesn't abandon his children. He doesn't orphan us. He doesn't adopt us and then orphan us, right? Is there anything sadder than a parent who abandons their child? Now think about this. A parent abandoning their child. You know, a parent is the one person in the world that you're able to count on the most. You know, a parent knows you intimately, you know, oftentimes even better than you know yourself. And yet we hear in the news of parents who abandon their children on you know, doorsteps of churches, who abandon their children to do their own thing and pursue their own desires. We see pictures of parental neglect. Have you seen these pictures on Facebook and things like that? You know, babies left in hot cars, right, suffocating or roasting. Children, they're living in filth. You know, parents just don't care. They're off doing their own thing, or they're junkies and they're just getting their next fix. And then the children are left to live in filth with soiled diapers and, you know. We see this, parents abandoning their children. And you know what? Some children, while they may not be abandoned physically, they may be abandoned emotionally and spiritually. And we know this. We know this when parents abandon their children. But Isaiah says, our God is not like this. Right? God is not like this. When you feel tired and weary and heavy laden, right, Christ says, hey, give it to me. Right, come, draw, give me your troubles. Right, look to God for comfort. When you feel alone and abandoned, God says, hey, I'm with you. Right, look to God for intimacy and relationship. When you feel ashamed and guilty, Christ says, hey, I've redeemed you. Right, look to God for forgiveness. Look to God for forgiveness. Oh, there we go. Comfort, relationship, and forgiveness. You know, no matter where you've been or where you are right now, God has not abandoned you. God is not a God who abandons his children. He wants this face-to-face relationship with you, this intimate relationship with you. Not a relationship defined by guilt and shame, not a relationship where you have to hide from him. Put your hope in him. He is a loving God. Number two, we also want to put our hope in a powerful God. What's the point in having a God who can't do anything, right? Who can't actually do anything, who can't actually provide for us, right? This, our God, is the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, as Isaiah reminds us. Right? There's nothing he can't do. Right? There's nothing that God can't do. Right? So why do we often put our hope in other things? Right? Why do we hope in our own resources? Why do we hope in our own abilities, like our intelligence or our athleticism or whatever? Why do we hope in other people, right? Leaders, teachers, even our parents to some degree? Why do we put all our hope in them? Why do we hope in our institutions, the government, or even the church? We cannot put ultimate hope in these things. Because, you know, we've seen each and every one of these things fail us at some point. You know, our resources, our wealth, you know, the stock market, it goes up, it goes down, right? The recession recently taught us that. We cannot trust in our resources, even our retirement plans. And I've seen my retirement plan go from here to here before, right? Cannot trust even in our retirement plan, our resources, our abilities. They too fade. Right? We get weaker and slower as we age. We lose that edge. We're not as sharp as we once were. Not only that, there's always someone younger and someone stronger, someone better and someone cheaper to come and replace us. You know, our abilities fade. Other people, too. Other people, they let us down. We see this every day when people break their promises, when parents abandon their children. People will let us down. Even our institutions can be corrupted. Even the church can be corrupted, right? Let alone the government and regimes. Right? They come and go. Why do we hope in such feeble and frail things? Why don't we hope in God who can, the creator God who can do all things? Right? God sees all things. God knows all things. God can do all things. Right? God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Right? Why don't we put our hope in this God? You know, God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. I'm pretty sure he can handle whatever it is that you're going through, that you feel hopeless about. Okay, lastly, we put our hope in a wise God. You know, Israel, they had to suffer the judgment and punishment for their sins. They had to suffer the judgment and the punishment, but it wasn't without a purpose. Right? God was using this punishment to purify his people. So that they would draw close to him. Right? It was using the punishment that he describes in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah to purify his people. You know, when things seemed hopeless, I imagine that the Israelites, for 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, they must have felt pretty hopeless. Can we ever settle down? What are we doing here? But there was a purpose for that. God was preparing them. Right, to take the promised land. I imagine the disciples, after the crucifixion, right, they must have felt so hopeless. Like, man, we just gave 3 years of our life to this teacher, and he dies on us? Right, what did we just do with our time? What was the point of all that, right? I imagine the disciples, they also felt hopeless. Right, but that was a time to prepare them for the resurrected Lord to come and meet with them. You know, in our suffering. Our suffering is not pointless. There is a purpose to our suffering. Likewise, whatever difficult situation that we're facing, that we might feel hopeless in, right, there is a purpose for your suffering. Perhaps God in his infinite wisdom is using your suffering to draw himself closer to himself. In Romans 8:28, we all know this verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Right? God is working out his good purposes for our good. Even when it doesn't feel like it, even when it feels like we've been forgotten or abandoned by God, he is there. He is sovereign over all of his creation. He is definitely, most definitely in control of whatever it is that you're facing. Right? Put your hope in the Lord. Right? He will redeem you and restore you. You know, Christian hope, it's not just wishful thinking. Right? We often confuse the two. We think hope is just, oh, it'll get better, or, oh, there's always tomorrow. Right? But Christian hope is not wishful thinking. Right? Wishful thinking, that's not really hope. Christian hope is not wishful thinking, saying things like, it gets better, or it'll be better tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. Our hope is real because our God is real. Our hope is in God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was really born and really walked and talked, and he really died and rose from the dead. Our hope is in the Spirit of God who still changes lives. He really changes people, mine included. Our hope is real because our God is real. When we focus on ourselves, our problems, things may seem hopeless. But when we focus on the person and nature of God, that gives us hope. I wanted to share with you a silly story about these Advent candles. So I ordered these candles like 2 weeks ago, okay, on Amazon.com. You know, I shop on Amazon a lot. I ordered the wreath and candles on Amazon, right? And so they showed up to my house 2 weeks ago. Right? It's been a long time. But I never really, you know, bothered to open the package or anything like that. And so last night, you know, I'm getting ready for this morning, and 8:30 p.m., you know, my wife, she opens the package with the wreath and the Advent candles, and guess what happens? It's actually, this is the one that I got from Amazon, okay? And so she opens the package, and it's supposed to say, set of four, okay? Three purple, one pink. All right, set of four, three purple, one pink. And we're looking at it, we're like, what happened here? What's going on, right? For those of you that don't know, okay, the purple is the traditional color, right, for the other Advent weeks. Now, pink is the shepherd candle. You're only supposed to have one pink, okay? There's not two shepherds, okay? There's one shepherd candle, okay? So it's a set of four, three purple, one pink. And we're looking at this, 8:30 p.m., we're like, No way. We can't have two pink candles up there on the Advent wreath, right? And so I'm freaking out, right? And I'm like, oh, I have to go and buy. Where am I supposed to find Advent candles at 8:30 p.m. on a Saturday night, right? And so I go down to, I look online, and Home Depot shows that they have them, right? So I go to the Home Depot, and they're like, no, we don't sell them. And I said, well, it's right here. It's on your website. And they say, oh, that's online only. You can ship to store if you want. I'm like, no. Am I going to have two pink candles? No way, right? So then I go to Target. It's across the street from the Home Depot. I go to Target. And they have, you know, they have some candles, but no purple. And I'm like, no way. It's got to be purple. That's the traditional color, you know. I can't have, you know, light blue candles, okay? I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. I'll buy, three light blue candles just in case, okay? One more stop. I go to Fred Meyer. Right? This is like, you know, 9:30 p.m. already, and I'm freaking out. I go to Fred Meyer. They're like the only place that's open now. And I ended up getting a couple candles. Okay, I got these. Again, no purple. Okay, but they did have this lovely blue. And I was really, really considering, like, okay, you can't have two pink, right? Maybe I'll have three blue and one pink, right? And that'll be fine. It would have been these three, right? Well, that's not too bad, but I was thinking, man, I really want purple. You know, purple is the right color and matches the wreath and everything. Anyway, I kind of gave up hope. Okay, this is where the story's going. I gave up hope, and I'm like, fine. I'll just have three blue candles and one pink candle, and they're not going to match and everything, but it's hopeless. Nothing else is open tonight, you know, it's hopeless. I go home, and, you know, I'm really, really bummed out, right, because I wanted it to, we're going to do this thing, let's do this right, right, and this is the first time we're doing this here. Like, I really wanted three purple candles, and I went on Joann Fabric, you know, and hey, they have them. Hey, they're, you know, the store inventory checker says they have them, but they don't open till 10 a.m., right? They don't open till Sunday morning on 10 a.m. I'm like, no, are you kidding me? So close and yet so far. And again, I gave up hope, right? And for whatever reason, there was, you know, Joann Fabrics, they put out these ads all the time. You get them in your newspaper all the time. And it was like doorbuster, holiday sale. And, you know, I used to always joke about, like, who's going to be busting down the door to go to Joann Fabrics, right, to save what, 20 cents on a spool of thread, right? Like, no one's going to bust down the door for Joann Fabrics on Black Friday. Are you kidding me, right? But anyway, I'm walking by, and I see the Joann Fabrics ad, holiday hours. Doorbuster sales, 9 a.m., Sunday. I'm like, no way, you know? So that's what I did, 9 a.m. this morning, you know, an hour, 20 minutes ago. I was at that Joann Fabric picking up those candles, right? But the point is, you know, I had given up hope. I had completely given up hope. I had done everything in my own power. I had driven to all these different places. I checked online, and I did everything that I could, right, to do this right, and I had given up hope, right? But God, He wanted me to learn this lesson, right? Our hope is not in ourselves or in our own abilities, in our own intelligence. Hope is in the Lord. You know, what I really should have done is pray. I should have just prayed and really just gave it up to God, and He had the candles waiting for me, ready to just pick up just down the street right there, you know? You know, we should just hope in God. Why do we hope in ourselves, right? Hope, I cannot tell you how bummed out I was last night, right? But God gave me hope when I saw Joann Fabric, doorbuster sale, 9 a.m. Not only that, these candles are way cheaper than the ones I got on Amazon, too. Hey, doorbuster, why do we hope in ourselves? Hope in God. God provides. God gives, you know. Hope is a powerful thing. When I found out, I was just so pumped, you know, and I barely got any sleep last night, but I was so energized. I had so much energy, ready to go get those candles and do this right, you know. Hope is a powerful thing. Hope is a powerful thing. I read a story about a science experiment that was conducted a few years ago. There were two groups of mice, okay, two groups of mice, two tubs, big tubs of water. Okay. And so their mice test, you know, lab rats kind of a thing. So they put the mice in these tubs of water, okay, so that they have to swim. And the first group of mice, they were just left alone. And the scientists would record, you know, see how long they could keep swimming, how long they would last. Right? The second group, though, they put the mice, one in here, one in this tub. The second group, occasionally they would pick up the mice just for a second and put them back, put them right back, okay? They only did this a couple times in the beginning of the experiment. They picked up, you know, the mice were swimming. They picked them up, and they put them back down. Right? It's a couple times they did this. And the first group of mice that had never been picked up, they swam. They only lasted an hour. At the end of that hour, all of the mice had died. Right? But that second group of mice, guess how long they lasted? They lasted. They swam for 24 hours. 24 hours, right? Why the difference? Well, because the first group of mice, they swam, and then they lost hope. They lost hope, and they gave up, and they ended up dying, right? But that second group of mice, they always had that hope. Hey, maybe if I just swim just a little bit longer, right, that researcher is going to come and pick me up and you know, save me. They kept on going, right? 24 hours they lasted. They kept thinking just a little longer. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, I hope we are that second group of mice. You know, we've been rescued. God has picked us up out of our misery, out of our hopelessness, right? God picks us up, and then he gives us strength when we are weak. He gives us rest when we are tired, right? God does that for us. You know, whatever difficulty that you're facing in life, I just want to tell you, don't lose hope. Right? Whatever it is, it's not that bad. God is able. Right? God is there, okay? Look upon the face of God. Look at God, right? He is loving. He is all-powerful. He is wise. Right? There's a purpose for your suffering. Right? God is there. Our verse says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Right? And that's very true. If you have hope, you will have strength. Right? Don't lose hope. Okay? God is our hope. He himself provides the way out. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for rescuing us who have put our trust in you. Lord, we confess that we put our hope, our trust in so many other things. We put our hope in ourselves, our resources, our abilities. We put our hope in other people, our institutions, our routines. Lord, we put our hope in all these things, Lord, when really we should be putting our hope in you. Lord, for anybody out there who's feeling hopeless, I pray that they would gaze upon your face and look at you and see that you are able, that you are loving, that you are wise. Lord, give us hope, not in ourselves, but you yourself are our hope. I pray that you would continually remind that of us this holiday season as we get busy with Christmas. Remind us that our hope is in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand to sing this response song together.
Come, O come, Emmanuel.
God, we thank you for this hope that you bring to us and in our lives, and the fact that, God, our hope is not simply wishful thinking, but it's founded on certainty, God. But God, as we have this hope, how does it affect the way we live? What is it about our hope that makes us live differently than any other hope, God? God, when we leave today, may we leave with that assurance of the fact that we place our hope in a God who is loving, in a God who is powerful, in a God who is all-knowing. We thank you for that, God. Constantly remind us of who you are and this hope that we have in you. And God, may it change the way that we live. Because you have changed our lives because of that. So we thank you for all this. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to ECC SKC. Give a brief overview of the announcements in the bulletin. So just a couple of logistical things first. Adult Sunday School will be at 11:15 in the classroom behind the sanctuary, which is right back there, of course through the wall. And Adult Sunday School is currently studying Acts. The Youth Sunday School will be in its usual place at 11:30 in the Fellowship Hall, which is out the sanctuary and to the right. And they will also be studying the Book of Acts. Let's see. Looking at future events, on December 10th, there will be a Sunday school teacher and TA training at ECC Redmond. And this is December 10th at 1 to 5 p.m. And that's all the announcements that I'm going to stand here and read. If you want to see what else is going on, you can take a look at your bulletin. Oh, and Ivana has an announcement. Sorry about that.
Oh, so as you guys all know, I've been coming up here for a while now and talking about Operation Christmas Child. And so I just wanted to give you guys a kind of a report back as to how everything went. First of all, just really want to thank you all for all the support and all the ways that you guys have helped us. We definitely could not have done what we did without you guys. And so, like we were saying before, the food bazaar, we raised $3,100. And we were able to, because there are also expenses, we were able to use $2,800 to buy materials for the packing and things like that. So I just have some pictures to walk you through what we did and how everything went. And so the first thing we did was we counted all the gifts that was given to us, and we kind of looked at all we had, and we split up, and we kind of figured out what else we needed to get. We split up into three cars and three groups, and we went out shopping to different places. And so we literally, like, we would go in the carts, and we would go to different aisles, whatever we needed, and just grab and put it in. And so, like, if you look, we have a bunch of crayons and things like that. And yeah, when we were checking out at the cash register, we definitely got some weird looks, but that's okay. So we went shopping, got all we needed, and then the youth helped to wrap different boxes, and so we could line the plastic boxes with wrapping paper to make them look prettier and things like that. And then afterwards, on Sunday, we had to, first of all, sort all the different types of things into different categories. We had toys, toiletries, clothes, school supplies, and candy. After we sorted everything, we had all the youth go into each one of these categories and further sort them into different age and gender categories. And so these are the different groups, going through the different things and sorting them. And then after we had all of these things sorted, that's when all the chaos began. So they began taking boxes and going around and placing the different items into the boxes. And then afterwards, placing them and having people kind of quality control sometimes, go through, place a little note in there. And as you can see, we had help from people of all ages. And and so after we finished packing all of these boxes, they were loaded into a car and taken to the drop-off center for Operation Christmas Child. And what they did is they take all our boxes, they pack them into giant boxes, more boxes, and ship these over to the main facility. And so total, we were able to pack 150 boxes. And even though it's 50 shy of our original goal, we really wanted to make sure the content in each one of these boxes were very good. And we felt like by making 150, we were able to do that. And so just once again, want to thank you all for all the support and help you have. If you can continue praying for these boxes and the children that will be in the families that will be receiving these boxes, that's definitely something that would greatly be appreciated still. So yeah, thanks.
All right, let us pray, and then we close with the benediction, and we'll have time for a silent prayer. Father, we thank you for just the hope that you give us, that life has purpose and meaning because of you. We thank you that no matter what dark circumstances or whatever crazy things are going on in our life, Lord, we can always trust in you because you are loving, because you are able, because you are all-knowing, and you know what's going on in our lives, and you care because you are a loving Father. We thank you for this relationship that we have in you because of your Son, Jesus Christ. This Christmas, I pray that we would remember Christ, not focus on ourselves and our problems so much, but focus on you, the loving Father and the loving Son. We thank you, Lord, for this hope as we draw closer to Christmas this Advent season. Lord, be with us as we go, and help us to have a different outlook on life, not to just focus on ourselves, but to focus on you. We thank you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever.